Yeah, great to be here and great to be back and great to be back with this group of people and even great to be back with this group of people with the kids in the sanctuary with us this morning. And that has an impact on my family, of course. It has an impact on some of your families. And I ask your prayers for me as I attempt to lead and continue and attempt to proclaim the gospel week after week over this summer in a way that can connect and be meaningful to both the adults and the children in our midst. The good news is good news for all of us, and so it's my desire and prayer this morning for that good news to land in all of our hearts. This past couple of weeks, knowing that this day was coming, when we were going to mix and put together these two groups that tend to be apart for a portion of our gathering, it gave me a lot of time to think about things that kind of go together, things that mix well together versus those things that kind of don't mix very well together. And I was at Disney World a couple Thursdays ago, and as soon as we walked into the park, I became aware of the fact that I'm now in the land where Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck are, where Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse are, where Pluto and all of the characters from Disney are. And I thought, they go together, right? Yeah, they go together. When you think of Mickey, you think of Minnie. Like, they just go together. They don't separate. They're not like on two sides of the park. One's not in Epcot and the other one's in Magic Kingdom. They're both together because they go together. And I had a chance to think about those characters in that way because I knew we were going to be mixing together these two groups of people today. I had another opportunity this past week to think about things that go well together versus things that don't go well together. And I wonder if you'd think about, before I tell you that experience, I wonder if you'd think with me, kids in particular, I know you've got a little thing before you that gives you a chance to pay attention to that, and I want you to use that throughout this morning, but for just a minute, I want you to give me your attention. Can you think of something, kids, like Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse? Can you think of two things that go well together? Is there anybody that'd be willing to kind of step out and say, hey, these two things go well together? Yeah, Steve. Milk and cookies, huh? Can we agree? Milk and cookies go to. Is there a particular cookie that goes best with milk? Chocolate. Anything chocolate. Chocolate chip, Oreo, those kinds of things come to mind. Yes, Elijah, what goes well together? Cookies and cream, bingo. Yep, speaking of Oreos, cookies and cream go well together. We're on the food theme. Does anybody want to build on that or go in a different direction? Core. Bacon and eggs. Yes, bacon and eggs. Try and have bacon without eggs or eggs without bacon. It's just incomplete. Yes, what goes well together? Peanuts and spice. Planets and space. Very different from peanuts and spice. Planets, because I'm thinking you're giving me a curveball there when I thought you first said peanuts and spice. Yes, planets and space go well together. Good call. X? Boom. Oh, that was at the top of my list. Peanut butter and jelly. What goes well together? Pencils and erasers, right? You have a pencil without an eraser, you got a problem. But when you have them together, it's good. Yes?
Swords and shields.
Swords and shields. We could do this game all day, right? One more. Savannah, what goes well together? Need I say more? Princesses and princes go well together. They sure do. Now let's flip it around, because not everything, peanuts and spice, go well together. What are some things, kids, that don't go well together? Yeah, the Jedi and the Sith, bad combination. They don't go well together. Oil and water, that was on my list. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Good call, Cor. Yes, what doesn't go well together? People and fish. Yeah, because they live in the water and we live on land, right? And we have some fish in our house that don't seem to go together real well with us. So we bury them regularly. We do, don't we? Because they just don't live really well when they're not in the kind of water that they're meant to be in. I am with you on that, Eva. They don't go really well together. Other things that don't go well together. Milk and mud. Don't try it. Bad combination. There's some thick. One more. Yes. Yeah, that reminds me of Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. I don't know if you read that story, but he goes to bed with gum in his mouth, and he wakes up with gum in his hair. Does not go well together. Does anybody have a haircut to prove it? That they don't go well together? So there's a bunch of stuff that doesn't go well together, and there are some things that do go well together. And this morning, the reason I wanted to bring that up is because I had an experience this past week that helped me really think about what Jesus is saying in the gospel text this morning. I was getting together with a member of our church, and as is pretty customary, I just say, hey, where would you like to get together? And this member of our church, and I quite honestly love to ask that question because it gets me out of my groove and I go to places that I wouldn't normally go, but it also means I get to go to some really good places. And so this particular person I was getting together with this week said, I'll tell you where I'd like to go, TCBY. I'm like, sweet, would you like to get together next week as well? And so I walked into TCBY with this member of our church this past week in order to meet, and I had a real dilemma on my hands. Because when I got into, any kids been to TCBY, the country's best yogurt? So I was at TCBY this past week, and the dilemma I had was I walked in the door, and as you walk toward the place where you pick up the bowl to put the yogurt in, you have to walk past the toppings, at least when you come in the door I came in. So I'm walking in the door, and I'm going past the toppings, and I see two particular toppings, crushed Reese cups and gummy bears. Which, if I were answering the question a few minutes ago, I would say, you know, they don't really go well together. Okay, I love them both, but they don't necessarily go well together. So immediately I'm starting to think, what am I going to do? Is today going to be a Reese cup crush day, or is today going to be a gummy bear day? And as I'm dealing with this dilemma, I say to the member beside me, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I'm not sure which topping I'm going to get. And the person who worked there heard me say this, and she says, boy, do I have a solution for you. And she pointed me over toward where the bowls are, and I would not have seen this little stand, but there was a sign there. And the sign said, maybe you know about these things, Fro-Yo-Vider. Has anyone seen these before? This is the sign I saw when I was at TCBY. Because some flavors just don't mix. Here's how it works. Genius or what, right? Patent pending. This is how it works. It looks like it's a divider that goes right down in here. So, here with me. Gummy bears. Reese cup. But oh no, you're not limited to just that. It actually... So now I'm thinking, I got a new dilemma. What's the third topping I'm going to go with today? And then she reminds me, well, actually, you can take two of them. Put one on this side and the other on the other side, and you can actually have six. And that was more than I could handle that day. So I just went with the two because, can we say it together? Some flavors just don't mix. And that's what Jesus is getting at today when he's dealing with these Pharisees and these scribes who come. And he's been out casting out unclean spirits from people. Because from God's perspective, when people are missing out on life, because unclean spirits are at work in their lives, God says, you know what, that doesn't work for me. That just doesn't mix for me. And so he sends Jesus to live on earth to meet people who are dealing with unclean spirits that are keeping them from the life that he wants all of his creation to have. And so Jesus starts walking around, and he starts seeing these people who have unclean spirits. And when he sees them, he casts them out. In other words, he removes the unclean spirit from the person who has it because from God's perspective, his creation, his children, his people, and unclean spirits, they just don't mix. And so he divides them, and he uses Jesus to divide these people from the unclean spirits. But he's doing that often enough that there's a crowd gathering because it turns out there's a bunch of people who are not fully experiencing life. And so when Jesus comes and is making life available to people, it's drawing a crowd. And with the crowd comes suspicion from the religious leaders. See, Jesus is starting to shake things up, and he's starting to do things that no one else was able to do before he had come to earth. And so as he's doing that, the religious leaders are getting nervous, they're getting a little anxious, they're getting suspicious, and so they start thinking, how is it that Jesus is actually able to cast out these unclean spirits from these people? How's he doing it? And they come up with a pretty lousy theory, quite honestly. He's doing it by the power of Satan. The big word for that is they're using the word Beelzebul. That's just another name for the prince of evil spirits, Satan, or the evil one. And so their idea is Jesus himself is possessed with an evil spirit. That's how he's casting out evil spirits. But you know, if Jesus, if that were true, Jesus says, that's crazy. Why would Satan cast out Satan? Why would an unclean spirit cast out an unclean spirit? It makes no sense at all. In fact, Jesus says that if the evil spirits were to do that, if that's really what was going on, that would be a house divided. That means that Satan's kingdom would be against itself. And what Jesus knows, and I hope you know this in your marriage and in your family and in your workplace and in all the areas of your life, is that a house divided will not stand. It's why God sent his son to reconcile us first to himself and then to one another. Because a house undivided can stand. A house that's reconciled to itself can stand, can prosper, can thrive. But a house that's divided can't stand. And so Jesus says, you guys' theory, scribes, is bonk. It's no good at all. Because it doesn't make any sense that Satan would be casting out Satan, because that would mean a divided kingdom that has no power. So what Jesus is actually saying to them is, you've got it wrong. Here's the thing that I'm doing to cast out these unclean spirits. I actually have the Holy Spirit, the clean spirit, the pure spirit, the good spirit. And that Holy Spirit is at work in Jesus' life, and it's that power that is casting out the unclean spirits in the lives of the people that he's meeting. In other words, that makes sense, doesn't it? That's kind of like Reese cups and gummy bears. Those don't go together. And the Holy Spirit and unclean spirits do not go together. But here's the question. If they don't go together, who wins? Because there's no Froyo Vider in Jesus' day to just make it all okay. To just, we can coexist, we can live together. All of these, no. Here's what's happening, Jesus says, is when the Holy Spirit comes upon a person with an unclean spirit, the stronger spirit wins. The strong man has to bind the weaker man first, and then he takes over. And the Holy Spirit that's at work in Jesus' life plunders the unclean spirit that's at work in these people's lives. In other words, what Mark, the gospel writer, wants all of us to see today is that Jesus was the Son of God. The evidence that he was the Son of God was that the Holy Spirit was at work in his life, working against the unclean spirits and having authority over them. In other words, the clean spirit, the Holy Spirit, was stronger than the unclean spirit. And it's at work in Jesus' life, and that was the evidence that Jesus was the Son of God. But here's what was going on as he was doing that. People weren't okay with that. People didn't want Jesus to be the Son of God. Because if Jesus were the Son of God, that would mean that they had to do certain things. They had to trust him. They had to obey him. They had to align their lives with his will and his teaching. And many people didn't want to do that. They wanted to keep getting whatever flavor yogurt they wanted. They wanted to keep enjoying whatever in life they wanted. They wanted to have things their way. And instead, Jesus was saying, by the power of the Holy Spirit in his life, that he was the Son of God, worthy to be praised, worthy to be followed, that he was the one that could be trusted and followed. Well, here's what's happening. As that's happening in the story, his family's hearing about this. Look around. If your family's with you today, if there's any member of your family here today, look around at them. If they're not with you, I want you to think about your family. And I want you to think about Jesus being part of a family. That is, he had a mom. He had a dad, but his presence is not in this story. We don't hear about Joseph in this particular story. But he has a mom, and he has some brothers, and he has some sisters. And he's part of a family. But Jesus has stepped out of that family and has received the Holy Spirit, and now he's going out doing the kinds of things that are making him really popular and really famous, and lots of crowds are coming around. His family hears about it, and what's their response? Go, Jesus, go, Jesus. No, that's not their response. Instead, here's what Jesus' family thinks about Jesus when he starts working in the power of the Spirit. Cuckoo. Cuckoo. They're saying Jesus is out of his mind. He's crazy. Who does he think he is? What's he doing? And his very family is trying to find him to say, Ixnay on the Eretz Bay. They don't want it. They're trying to get him to chill out and come back and just be part of the family. They're saying he's out of his mind. And so they come to the house where he is sitting with his followers. He's just named 12 apostles, those who are going to go out and actually do the very same thing that he's been doing, casting out evil spirits. And he's sitting around in the house with these apostles. And there's a crowd around, and they're asking him, who is he, and how does it, what gives him the right to do this sort of stuff? And at the door comes a knock. Hey, Jesus, your mom and your brothers and your sisters are at the door. What's Jesus going to do? He uses it as this moment to teach his followers in the crowd that there's actually more going on here than just biological family. There's actually could be a division within the biological family. There could be a division within the family of God at that time, the people of Israel. And Jesus says, actually, my mom and my brothers and my sisters, those aren't the ones at the door knocking. My mom and my brothers and my sisters are the very people in this room at this time, at this table, doing the will of God. Now, his mom's welcome. His brothers are welcome. His sisters are welcome. But if they're going to continue to walk as his family and be his family, it's going to be because they obey the will of God. In 1 John chapter 3, he tells us that the will of God is to believe in the Son of God and to love one another, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So around the table are these people who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And at the door and the crowds are people who don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And what Jesus says is, there's a division there. Those don't mix. Now, in our culture today, in our world today, lots of people would say, actually, it all mixes. Just have faith, just trust, just believe, just whatever, because it all mixes. It all ends up at God in the end. It all is good. All roads lead to heaven. All things work together. Everybody goes, as long as you have faith in some abstract things. And what Jesus is saying instead is, there's actually not this kind of divider among humanity. There's just this kind of divider among humanity. Those people who do the will of God and those people who don't do the will of God. This group is my family. This group isn't. That's what Jesus wants his audience then to know, and that's what he wants us to know. And I'm aware that in the hearing of this, my voice, there could be two groups of people here today. Those who have already said yes to God through Jesus. That is, I already believe in Jesus as the Son of God. I've already confessed my sin. I've already placed my faith in Jesus because he's the one who mixes perfectly with God the Father. It's his righteousness. It's his faithfulness. It's his ability to get it right every time that makes it possible for me to mix well with God. And so I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to obey him, and I'm going to follow him. And as such, those people, Christians, are the family of God, the mothers and brothers and sisters of Jesus. I'm also aware, perhaps today, that there are those in my hearing that would not call themselves Christians, that have not placed their faith in God through Jesus Christ, who are still trying to be good enough for God, still trying to, in their own strength and in their own abilities, get it right before God.
And Jesus' invitation to both groups is to either renew our trust in him today or to place our trust in him today for the very first time. Because that's what makes us people of God. That's what makes us the family of God. That's what allows us to experience the full benefits of God's household and his kingdom and his spirit and his son and his eternity, his full kingdom. That's what it is. And so I want to ask you today in closing, for Christians that are in our midst today, is there an area in your life where you're not living as a member of the family of God? That you're not submitted to the will of God? That you're not, as Jesus says, one of those who obey the will of God? That you're not trusting Jesus in your finances, in your relationship, in your marriage, in your vocation, that in your time, in your schedule, in all the things that life presents? Is there a place in your life, Christian, where you are not obeying the will of God, not living into your identity as a member of his household? And if so, the good news today is that he's inviting you back. His grace abounds adequately to invite you back this morning, to confess that to him, to be honest with him about that, that there's this area that I'm just not trusting you and I'm not obeying your will in my life, and I want to, and I repent. And you turn from that way to his way. And if you're here today and you would not call yourself a Christian, you're not yet placed your faith in Jesus. Beloved, I don't want you to miss out on all the benefits and privileges of God's household. And his invitation to you today is to acknowledge your sin, because here's the reality of it all. Sin does not mix with God's righteousness. Those are two flavors that just don't mix. And if you would confess your sin to the Lord, if you would be honest with him and say, I've fallen short of your standard, I can't in my own strength please you. And if you would place your faith in the one who has pleased the Father, Jesus, his son, and turn from your ways and trust his, then beloved, you will be in his household as well. You will experience life in his family. You will be among those who get in on the good stuff of God. That's an invitation for all of us. I hope you've heard it in the place that it connects with your life. Let us pray. Jesus, we thank you this morning that, am I so aware of the fact that my life just didn't mix with your righteousness. That in my sin and my brokenness and my desire to have things my way and to do things my way, I was an enemy of God. And I'm thankful this morning, Jesus, that you came to this world to demonstrate God's love. That while I was still a sinner, while I was still not mixing well with God, when I was still at odds with God, you came to this earth and you died on the cross to reconcile me to God. And I thank you not only that that's true for me, but that that's true for every person here this morning. And I thank you, Jesus, that you broke down the dividing wall between God and humanity. Father, I pray today that you would show each one of us today where it is that we're not living as children of God, where it is we're not trusting, where it is we're not obeying, where it is that we're not mixing well with your ways and your will and your law and your commands and your standards and your kingdom. And that you would lead us by your grace to respond to your invitation, to trust you afresh today. Thank you, God, that in your love, you wanted to mix well with us. It's in your name we pray.